Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. I want to speak on the absolute necessity of preaching the Bible. You know, if you go to different religious bodies or maybe tune into some of the television programs that are aired on Sunday and at other times, you hear people maybe mention a Bible verse once in a while, but a lot of times they're preaching about a lot of different things other than the Bible. I'd like to impress upon us the fact that it is absolutely necessary that we preach the Bible. I forget if I turn this on. Okay, I'm on now. Paul wrote to the evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 in the first four verses. He says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant. Be ready. In season, out of season. In other words, it's open season. There's not a closed season on preaching the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. A lot of religious bodies today, that it's frowned upon to reprove and rebuke anyone. And only half of exhorting. The word exhort, you remember, is what I call a double-barreled word. It means to warn and to encourage and or encourage. Seems like today everybody just wants to talk about encouraging, and we need certainly to do that. And even when we reprove and rebuke, we want to encourage to do the right thing. But preaching the doctrine of Christ. He says, with all long suffering, Timothy, you can't preach it once and they've got it. No, you'll have to preach it again and again and again. Doctrine. He is to preach with all long suffering and doctrine. He can't just teach whatever he wants. Doctrine. He's to rightly divide the word of God and apply it and teach it as God intends for it to be taught. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will have itching ears and be turned away from the truth. I want you to notice here that when you preach the word, you preach sound doctrine, you preach the truth. The reason it's sound doctrine is because it is the truth. And the source of the truth is, of course, the Word of God. As Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And as he told to those who believed on him to abide in his Word, and they would know the truth. So all of these things come back to the Word of God. When we preach the Word, we're preaching certainly the Word. We're preaching sound doctrine because it is the truth. I can remember at one time in our brotherhood that we were, I don't know if we were debating, but people were questioning, well, what is sound doctrine? As if you couldn't know what sound doctrine was. It's the truth of God's Word. Don't change it. Don't teach something different that might, something that might be true, but it's not found in the Word of God. Stick with God's Word. Preach the Bible. It's absolutely necessary that we preach this truth, the Word of God, that which we find in the Bible, because it's there that we find the will of God revealed to us. You'll remember that Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." Sometimes people want to get in philosophical discussions about things God doesn't reveal to us. You know, how did He do this? Why did He do this? You know, all of those kinds of things. Not that, no, we can't imagine about those things, but there are things that are, people have said, that are above your pay grade. You don't need to know those things. In the military, we had, you had different clearances and so forth, but even if you had the clearance, you might not have a need to know a particular bit of information that might be classified. So there are some things we don't need to know. But notice, those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. Not just so that we might know the Word of God and the will of God, but that we might do the will of God. The things that are revealed unto us and to our children forever. You mean it's not going to change from generation to generation? You mean the will of God is the same today as it was when He wrote it thousands of years ago? That's what it means. The same word applies to us and our children and our grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren and those that come after them, as it applied to those who live during the days that these words were originally written or spoken. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, it says, "God has revealed them to us by His Spirit." How do we know the will of God? How did we receive the Word of God? Through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, and reveals those things that we need to know to us through His Word. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Why did God reveal His will to the Spirit, and the Spirit reveal the will of God to us through this Word? So that we might know these things. So that we might do these things that are freely given to us. So when the Bible is preached, God's will is revealed. But when something else is preached, God's will remains unknown. Oh, people might leave feeling good and feeling like they've been entertained and have a good feeling about things, but they don't know any more about the will of God leaving the building than they did when they walked into it. God's will is revealed in His Word. And so we must preach the Bible. The Bible is the only source of spiritual light. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't use lamps much these days, but if you get up in the middle of the night and you're trying to make your way someplace, maybe you've already got a light, a little night light that's on so that you can kind of see to go. And if you don't, you probably have a little flashlight or something beside your bed so that you can see, or you take your phone these days and light up the screen and you got enough light that you can kind of see your way. We know the importance of light so that we can see where we're going and how to know where to go so that we don't get injured. That's what the psalmist is expressing here. Your word, God, shows me which way to go. In the word of God, we find safety and assuredness in knowing that we're going the right way. He's dependent upon God's word to light his path of life. In Ephesians 5 and verses 8 through 10, he says to Christians, he says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Before we had the word of God, before we knew the will of God, and when we didn't walk in the will of God, then we walked in the darkness. And we professed things that were darkness. We just said what we thought was good. And we'd ask, "Well, what do you think about this?" And maybe they'd agree with you, or maybe they'd have some other thought. And so you'd discuss that back, and that's just all darkness. God's word gives us the light of truth. And when we hear it, believe it, trust it, obey it, practice it, he says, "You are the light." Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "You are the light of the world." He's dependent upon us to have this word of God alive in us, being seen in us in the things that we do, so that others will see the good works of God performed in us and be attracted to him. Notice verse 9, and you know the writers put it in parentheses here, probably rightly so, because you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. That when we walk as children of light, we prove, or we display, we show those things that are acceptable to the Lord. But notice he says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All true goodness is verified to be good by the Word of God that is given to us by the Spirit. All true righteousness is verified to be righteousness by the Word of God, which is revealed by the work of the Holy Spirit. All truth is verified to be truth by the Word of God, which is given to us by the Spirit of God. And when we walk in that which the Spirit has delivered to us, then we're walking in His light. And we are manifesting that which is acceptable to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 6 says it this way: "We preach not ourselves." There are some who do. Some who are just in it to have the recognition of themselves. Paul says, we're not doing that. This isn't about us. "We preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness." How did he do that? God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. God said, what did he say? "Let there be light." What happened? "And there was light." You mean just by saying, "Let there be light"? Not by flipping a switch? Not by lighting a fire? Not by a big boom? Bang? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Can you do that? Do you know anybody who can do that? If you know God, you do. If you know His Word, you know someone who can do that, and the only one who can do that. And so I want you to notice here that He commanded the light to shine out of the darkness by the power of His Word. Try that. We take light for granted these days. But if you didn't have light, and you didn't have fire, how would you go about making fire? Try, let there be light. See how that works for you. Try rubbing two sticks together. See how that works for you. Try getting some dry kindling and some making a spark and see how that goes for you. Oh, you've seen people do it. Have you done it? It's harder than it looks. It takes some practice. Let there be light by the power of His Word. He commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. He has shined in our hearts, and I submit to you the same way, by the power of His Word. This Word. By making His will known in this Word that has been revealed to us. He has shined in our hearts. He has given us this Word to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Have you ever taken a moment just to stop and meditate on the last part of that verse? Without preaching the Bible, we cannot know the glory of God or Jesus Christ. He shined into our hearts by His Word to give the light of the knowledge of God and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because who was Jesus Christ? He was the Word of God made flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1. And verse 14. Jesus, the Word of God, revealed the glory of God. And all He did, all He said, was to the glory of His Father. When we preach the Bible, we walk in the light. The Bible is the only source of divine wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19 says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. There's a lot of wise, but they say things that are in direct contradiction with the revealed truth of God's Word. And God listens to all that philosophy and wise talk and says, that's foolish. It is written, He takes the wise. You want to reject God? Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. You've asked yourself that question, haven't you? Why am I here? What's the purpose of creation? What's the purpose of mankind? Why are we here? What are we for? It's not in us. You won't find it in and of yourself. You won't find it in all of the books that are written over generations upon generations. You only find it in this book. You only find it in this book. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. What do we hear? There were those who believed Jesus, and there were those who praised the knowledge that Jesus was putting forth, and there were those who disagreed with him and saying that it was foolish and that it was the word of all of those kinds. What do you want us to do with these people, these detractors? And Jesus said, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. You mean God's not just going to make us see the truth? That's what he means. If you choose to be one who puffed up with pride and you think you know more and you know better than what the Bible says, just go your way. And you can gather people after you. Good about all of it, but I do want us to get the point of what he's being said here. You know, people say, well, I don't know, you know, a lot in the Bible that just seems like it's made up. Seems like a fairy tale. The message of the cross, the Son of God, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. When there was no sin in him, he died, paying the price for our sin. And he arose from the dead, showing us that though we are dead in our sin, we can arise to life in him and walk in newness of life. In a nutshell, that's what the gospel is all about. And people say, How does all that happen? It's above your pay grade. Why did it have to happen like that? Above your pay grade. But it happened and it's recorded. But some view that message as foolishness. And those who view it as foolishness are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, because it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Remember when Paul came to Athens and they had all of the different images of the different gods that they were honoring and so forth. And then there was one that was erected to the unknown God. Just in case they forgot somebody, they wanted to honor that one too. Paul said, that's the one I'm going to declare to you. He's actually the only true God. But they thought they were pretty smart people in Athens. Pretty wise people in Athens. So when you go back to Plato and all those guys, all the wise guys, they thought they had it figured out. No. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Notice, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save. It's a very powerful message, but it's limited in its power. It only saves those who believe. You have to hear it to believe it. You have to trust it to obey it. It will save you if you hear it, believe it, and trust it, and obey it. And those are the only ones it will save. He goes on to say, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But drop down and notice the underlined part here. Of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let your wisdom be the wisdom that comes from God. Let your righteousness be the righteousness that God teaches us. Let your sanctification and your redemption be that which is based solely and entirely upon the revelation of God's Word. When we preach the Bible, we gain insight to divine wisdom. When we preach the Bible, we see God's will, and if we preach something else, we are ignorant of divine wisdom. You're trying to look into the things of God without appealing to the revelation of God. When we preach the Bible, the lost are presented an opportunity to be saved. When we preach something else, the lost remain lost. Finally, last point I want to notice with you this morning is the Bible is the only revelation of the reason for our hope. Do you hope to live beyond this life? Do you hope to go to heaven? Is your hope validated by the Word of God? Or are you hoping against hope? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, it says, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Grace is the favor of God. God did us a favor by giving us his word, giving us insight to his will, giving us insight to what we can be and what he expects us to be. God did us a favor by giving us his word. It is the word of his grace which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And it's only the sanctified who are going to gain the inheritance of an eternal abode in the presence of God and the heavenly host. If we hope to share in that inheritance, we need to abide in the word of this grace, the truth that he has gracefully revealed to us. And so we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I just want to emphasize once again, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Will you be saved? Will you believe? Will you dedicate yourself to knowing the will of God as he's revealed it in his word? To practicing it? Will you come out of the darkness of your sin into the security and the light of His Word of truth and live in it. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. The wages of sin, we're told, is death, separation from God. And if we die in our sin, we will be separated from God and everything that is good forever and ever and ever. That's why hell is described in the terms that it is described in. There's no light, there's no comfort, there's no love, there's no peace, there's no joy, there's no rest in hell. There's no mercy. There's no forgiveness in hell. There's none of that in hell because God is not in hell. And if you want any of that, you have to be in fellowship with God. And the way we get in fellowship with God is we believe His Word of truth. That's what binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, people come together because they have something in common. You know, you might join a club because that club participates in something that you like to participate in. What do we have in common? A love for the truth. Because of its source as being God. We love this. We love the direction it gives us. We love that it does reprove us and rebuke us and call us out of our sin and call us into fellowship and a relationship with God to walk in His light. To some people it's a foolish message, but to those who believe, it is a message of salvation. We'd encourage you to believe it, to trust it, and obey it. Jesus said, except you repent, unless you turn around, you will die in your sin. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And He tells those who believe to continue to abide in His Word, to be His true disciples, to know the truth, and the truth will make you free, always. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?